Good morning, everyone. I'm Felipa Solis, and you're listening to On Film right here at KTEP 88.5. I'm filling in for Chuck Horak, who is doing good things in the Congo and will be back soon. Joining me today is film expert Kyle Alvarado, and we're going to take a look at some of the movies that are either climbing the box office, could climb the box office, and maybe what to expect in the future. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Felipa. How's it going?
It's going great. And the number one film at the box office is Sully, with a very incredible return by Tom Hanks to the screen. Not that he's been gone that long, but when Tom Hanks is there, you usually expect great things, and especially when Clint Eastwood is behind the camera and directing the film.
Yeah, and I quite enjoyed this movie. He plays the real-life Captain Chelsea Sullenberger. It's about the Miracle on the Hudson, which was what? 8, 9 years ago, I think?
It was 2009.
Yeah, and I think what I appreciated a lot about this movie, aside from the fact that for a Clint Eastwood movie, it's incredibly short. It's only like 90-something minutes.
That was what I think was amazing about the film, because that's what I found a couple of years ago with Gravity. An hour and a half. If you can tell the story in an hour and a half, you're golden. But sitting there for 2.5 hours in a movie theater where you start looking at your watch, hoping no one will catch you with your phone, it's exhausting, really. Yeah. And it takes the enjoyment of the movie watching experience away. So I did appreciate that Clint Eastwood directed it as compact as he did.
Yeah, there's no need to have these sort of long monologue sort of explaining his inner feelings. I think Eastwood does a very good way of exploring the trauma with these sort of daydreams, or more like day nightmares, that Hanks's character has throughout the movie. I think there's a lot of great supporting players in it, but
wonderful. Even Aaron Eckhart, as his co-pilot, is very, very good in the film. Not to say that it's predictable. We sort of know how the story ends, naturally. But what was interesting was the way that he dealt with Sully's concerns after the fact, and what he could have done differently, possibly, and how that horrible man from the NTSB just kind of just made him question his abilities and question his judgment, because in essence, he saved so many lives with a water landing, if you will.
Yeah.
But it's a very good film. It's a kind of interesting look at history, and it's a wonderful way to see Clint Eastwood in the twilight of his career. It's kind of interesting because, as an actor, the one thing actors always say, well, I don't want to act, I want to direct. Mm-hmm. But for Clint Eastwood, it's, I don't want to direct, I want to write the score to the films, because he's a music maven.
Typically, he scores his own movies, but this time
he didn't, and that's what I was going to, that this one, he had to focus on the film because that's what he wants to do. He started playing the piano at 40, and he studied at 40 because this was his dream.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering about whether doing this film and not having that musical input, how it might have changed things for him.
I think it was for the better. I think you have a score by Christian Jacob and the Tierney Sutton Band, which is it's jazz vocalist. It's very different for a Clint Eastwood film.
Not like Mystic River, where it was just intense in your face music.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's a lot more calm, and I think it sort of reflects Sully's sort of internal strife with how he's dealing with it. One of the things that I really, really appreciated with the film, it's almost a love letter to first responders in a lot of ways. The camera lingers on the fire department, on the police department, on all these workers helping people get off the plane. And it doesn't overly valorize them. One of the things that I really liked about Sully, as opposed to Eastwood's last film, American Sniper, is that this one was very non-political. It was a love letter just to first responders, just to people doing their jobs, as opposed to American Sniper, which was also a love letter. But I think it kept its politics a little more visible.
Well, that's very, very true. And in this particular situation, you almost had to, because of the nature of what happened. Every life was saved, and it was truly a miracle. And the fact that the man had issues with that as well, because he accomplished great things in those very, very few moments, and that he had to question them, was interesting, because as people who receive news, we hear about these stories and then we move on and we don't see what happens to these people, even astronauts, and how all of these world-class events affect them.
Yeah.
And so that's what was interesting about this story, as opposed to like a film like Flight, where you saw the seamy side of a man's decision and how it went awry, and how Denzel Washington pulled that off was truly amazing. That's one of the great performances, I think, in quite some time.
Do you think it's interesting that Tom Hanks, he's in this weird stage of his career when you look at Sully, Captain Phillips, and...
he's always being rescued or somewhere or swimming or flying or doing something.
It's almost like he's stuck in Jimmy Stewart mode, you know, the everyman.
Yes, he is. But then he kind of was, because even back in the day when he was in Big and all of the things that we loved, he was that guy. Because I always think of Tom Hanks as somehow wanting to make me laugh. But once he did Philadelphia, I realized, wow... you're a very, very serious actor, but from Forrest Gump on down. But he's truly a very talented person. I even go back to some of the SNL skits that he's done, and he is just—he's a brilliant—he's a brilliant person. But I think, the last couple of films that he's done are a little typecast in that kind of Jimmy Stewart kind of way, like you say.
It's interesting.
It'll be interesting to see how his career continues, and it's interesting to see what's happening in the twilight of Clint Eastwood's career. He's 86 years old.
He still got it.
He still has it. And I saw an interview where Tom Hanks was saying that he would show up. It was kind of an 8-to-5 job for him. He knew when it was time to go. And it was just really amazing, reportedly, for him to work with someone like Clint Eastwood. I was reading also Sean Connery is 86 as well. It's amazing, people that we kind of grew up watching who were just the heroes. What's good is that the new generation respects and admires what they did. Because so many people who were heroes back in the 50s and 60s, in every walk of life, they made a mark and they touched lives, and it's great.
Well, if I had one complaint about the film, and I do, I can't have, I can't watch a movie without complaining about it.
Is that really? The glass is not half full for Kyle.
Is that a lot of the supporting players are underused. You have Aaron Eckhart. You have the great Laura Linney. You have Michael Malley. You have Anna Gunn.
Michael Malley, that was the NTSB guy who was just like, I thought I wanted to strangle him at one point. And then I composed myself and said, it's just a movie, Philippa. And settle down.
And they're all wonderful actors. And they're not given lots to play with. I feel kind of bad because it's, and rightfully so, it's Tom Hanks' movie.
But it's always Tom Hanks' movie when Tom Hanks is in the movie. When you think about it, I mean, he's, you know, he's there with a volleyball. He's there with, as Captain Phillips, he's just, he's that guy. And so everyone pretty much has to take a back seat. And so with that, it didn't make it a ensemble.
This was basically a one-man show with just other people around him.
I don't think it's going to be the stuff of Oscars. We'll see. Maybe they'll give him... Clint Eastwood a nod, but I don't think this is another Oscar for Tom Hanks. I really don't.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, it's been what? It's been Castaway was his last nomination. So, you know, maybe they'll give him like that last slot.
That last slot. I know you've been seeing other films as I have.
Yes. Tackling another real life, real world person, Oliver Stone directs Snowden. I don't know how I feel about this movie.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm curious.
So, yeah. So,
especially because of Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone's last good movie for me was W. For other people, it goes, you know, back further.
But Born on the 4th of July.
Oh, that was a good one. Platoon. God, there's so many of them. But this one, Oliver Stone takes a look at the interviews that Laura Poitras took during the filming of the Citizen Four documentary, which won the Oscar for Best Documentary.
It did.
And it has a couple framing devices going back and forth to Snowden's training and why he decided to leak this information to the public. You have a wonderful performance by Joseph Gordon-Levitt as
Edward Snowden.
Who's a great
young actor.
Looks nothing like him, but he captures a lot of the mannerisms to Snowden that you know, maybe you don't see in the interviews that he releases online. But you get a sense of who this person might have been. You also get a great performance by Shailene Woolley playing Lindsay Mills, his girlfriend. If I had a couple complaints about the film, it's that it has a lot of pacing issues. I don't normally...
That's interesting for Oliver Stone because usually it's very smooth and you can get from point A to point B pretty quickly.
Yeah, and in this one it's probably the chief problem with the film is that I think Stone stops just short of making him Saint Snowden. Instead of sort of taking a measured, balanced look at his life, it's a little more slanted in the same way that Eastwood did with Chris Kyle and American Sniper. This one's a little on the other side of it. I find that interesting, but it's a good – when you look at how the film functions as a film, it's perfectly fine and it's enjoyable.
Natural Born Killers, that was an Oliver Stone film.
Yeah.
That was intense. You mentioned documentaries, and I've been watching documentaries because the Broadcast Film Critics has a special new documentary event that they're pretty much honoring all of those filmmakers who are doing incredible work for films and telling stories that make a difference. One such film is Ron Howard's 8 Days a Week. And what's wonderful about it is that Ron Howard, we grew up with as everywhere from Opie Taylor to Richie Cunningham, but obviously he had so much passion for the Beatles. And growing up himself at that time, he was older, and he just, you feel every ounce of it. Mm-hmm. And supposedly now they're going to do a second tier to this documentary, but 8 Days a Week is showing in some theaters around the country and even here in the region. So if you're a Beatles fan or you're a Ron Howard fan, he's also a tremendous filmmaker. And I think this documentary could definitely be nominated for an Oscar. And as documentaries that I've been seeing, there are some others that are truly amazing. There's O.J. Made in America. Mm-hmm. There's some incredible films about such rock stars as Iggy Pop and others. And so with all of that, there's a lot coming out this year in the form of documentaries.
Yeah.
But 8 Days a Week, again, you feel it. You feel that love that he had for the Beatles and that kind of understanding of how people felt about the Beatles when they came out, even if you were just a kid,
yeah,
to whether you were a teenager like he clearly was when that was happening. So you feel the excitement. And if you're in the mood to watch a documentary that is thought-provoking and kind of is nostalgic, mm-hmm, 8 Days a Week is definitely one to see.
Mm, nice. Speaking of the Oscars, we're heading into the murky, murky waters of the
season.
And
I've got nothing. It's just been one of those years.
Wow. Are there any titles that you're looking forward to?
I fear Birth of a Nation. La La Land is getting a great deal of hype, and there are a lot of reviewers and a lot of film festivals who are saying this film with Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling could change the whole concept of the musical genre that has disappeared. So with that in mind, that might be something to look at. I like musicals. I like music in movies. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, and that one seems interesting because I see trailers for that one, and I'm reminded a lot of Moulin Rouge
right,
a couple years ago, just in terms of how when that film came along, it sort of revitalized and re-energized the musical genre. It's since gone silent, and
right,
I think this one could be another sort of rebirth of the genre.
I'm just not seeing Ryan Gosling as a song and dance man, but I'm hoping that I'm incorrect on that one. You've been listening to On Film. I'm Felipa Solis. Thank you so much for joining us. And also thanks to Kyle Alvarado, our film expert here today, talking about films that are making it big in the box office and beyond. Tune in next week for On Film. You're listening to KTEP 88.5.